As we're going through this carol service and we're singing these different songs about Christmas and about Jesus, it's always really nice for us to kind of take some time to sort of reflect and think about, well, what is Christmas really about? What's the meaning of this? And today in our thinking about Advent, we're actually coming to think about actually the idea of joy and what it means to have joy. So actually, if we go to the house lights for a second, I'd like this, if you guys could take a little bit of time, make this a little bit slightly interactive. Can you turn, say hello to the person next to you, say good morning, nice to meet you. And then I want you guys to ask each other, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? Okay. Now, don't just ask that. Now, answer that question to one another. What brings you joy? All right. Since I have a wireless mic, I can go around and see how the group work is going. So I'm going to come over here first. I see this nice young gentleman here. And I'd like to ask them, what brings you joy?
Playing guitar.
Playing guitar. Nice, good answer. Let's ask this other fine young gentleman. What brings you joy?
Food.
Food. Playing guitar and food. Let's come over here. Let's come out check out some other ones. So let's tell me, what brings you joy?
Family.
Family. What brings you joy?
Friends.
Oh, you got downgraded. All right, let's come along a little bit further. Siume, what brings you joy?
Yes, food.
Food as well. And Yang?
God!
God! How about you?
Jesus.
And Jesus, oh, it gets holy. Well, at least you said food. Okay, let's come around. Let's come over here. Suki, what brings you joy?
Family.
Family. And Donnie, what brings you joy? He just looks so joyful, just smiling. No answers? You want one more try?
What brings you joy?
You have a shy. Okay, let's come over to the student section and non-students. Let's see, what brings you joy? Oh, don't, she's turned her head so far away. Do not come. All right, what brings you joy, George?
Sleep.
Sleep brings you joy. Okay, let's come over here. One more. Our resident cynic, Larry, what brings you joy?
Peace.
Peace. Peace brings you joy. Nice. Okay, you know what's really interesting about joy is actually joy is brought to you. Actually, joy is something that you receive. It's given to you. If you try really hard to summon joy for yourself, you can say, I really want joy. I really want joy to power up in my life. You realize, oh, I can't summon it by myself. I can remember something, and then that brings me joy. I can recall that thing that brought me joy. I can relive it. But I can't just say, I just want this internal joy by myself. There's something precious about joy because it is given and it is received and is brought to you. If someone came in here and said, everyone gets free happy lemon, suddenly everyone would be like, oh, I am full of joy. Same thing, Christmas for a lot of kids is very exciting because it's like, yes, I'm going to get some joy now because someone's going to give me something I really want. When we talk about finding joy, it's actually the idea that we're recalling joy or receiving joy again. See, joy is very precious because when someone brings it to you, you might find surprise and delight, and you feel like, wow, that is something very precious. I remember actually I'll tell you a little secret, okay? So I moved over here from America, and in America, you can get your driver's license at 16. And so I was driving. I've been driving for about 5 years before I moved out here. And then I moved out here, and I thought, well, I'll get an international driver's license, and I'll drive around. You know, it's fine. So I drove around for the first year, international driver's license. And I thought, oh, I'll just renew this international driver's license, and it should be fine. And I did this for about 5 years, and my insurance just kept saying, yeah, it's fine. Then one day someone said, you know, you can't renew international driver's license. It only lasts for 1 year. And then I freaked out because I was like, oh, my goodness. I've been driving illegally, and the insurance just takes my money because they know if I get an accident, they don't have to pay out. They can just get their money. I thought, oh, no. So I got really stressed out, and I decided I got to take the driver's test. And I really, really learned that actually in this country, the driving exam is much more difficult. And along the way, I had picked up all these bad habits of driving, driving with my arm out, trying to go through McDonald's drive-thru, getting ice cream cone while trying to drive a manual car, not a good idea. You know, I had picked up all these bad habits, and I thought, okay, I got really stressed. I really need to pass this test. But I remember the day that I took the driving test, and I was trying to make small talk with the instructor, you know, try to be on his good side. And then at the end, he said, you passed. And at that moment, I had such great joy in my life. Like I felt, oh, I feel so happy. This situation, I've brought such great joy. And I will tell you, there are times when I feel really down and sad. And remember the day I passed my driver's test. And that joy comes back to my life. Now, it's something small, but we have this real understanding that actually joy is brought to you. And in the passage that we just heard, read by Kate and Kang, they're talking about Mary finding out that she's going to have a baby. But there's two things happening in this. Now, this is important. If you want to understand something about Jewish history and Jewish culture back there, actually, childbirth, especially for women, was highly equated with your purpose, with your reasoning, with the reason you're supposed to be alive, and that's what brings you great joy. Even elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about, actually, in childbirth itself, it is suffering, but when the baby comes out, there is great joy, because suddenly, wow, this thing is here, it's alive. And all the mothers say, I did not know I could love someone I had just met so much in my life. But if we listen to the story, and you read it, there's two people that show up in this a little bit, right? There is Mary, who suddenly gets this news that she's going to have a baby. And that's supposed to bring her great joy, except she's not even married yet. And it's weird because it's like, well, this is really unexpected. How am I supposed to feel in this situation? But the other person was Elizabeth. And hers was the flip side. She couldn't have children. She was barren in her old age already. And they were like, there's no way you can have a baby. Now, if you're young, you just think, yeah, well, my life plan is this. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children. I'm going to move into a house. And this is the way my life is going to go. But if you talk to people who are a little bit older, you realize, nope, those things didn't come through. I had a job, but I got laid off. I had a spouse, but they died, or they decided to leave me. Or I've never been able to get married. Or else I really wanted to have babies, but I found out I can't. We keep trying, but we just can't seem to have kids. And these things that we think, these are the things that are supposed to bring us joy, they don't happen. And this was, if you look at this story, there's two people who are going through this thing at the same time. There's Elizabeth, who has been joyless for so many years. And at some point, if these things don't happen, you start giving up hope, right? You think, well, I'm just never going to have a kid. That's just my life. I'm just never going to get married. I'm just never going to find a job I like. I'm never going to be at peace with my life. I'm always going to feel alone. And you start just realizing, well, maybe that's just the way it is. Maybe I'm just never going to get joy. For Mary, it's a little bit different. She's probably always wanted to have a baby, but she always assumed it would be like, well, I guess after me and my husband get married, then we'll have kids. It'll be this normal sort of thing. And suddenly it's like, yep, you're pregnant. It's a bit of a scandal. You probably weren't expecting it this time. And it's funny because when those things kind of happen in this day and age, we'll just say, well, I wasn't planning to have a baby, so I'm just going to have an abortion. Or I wasn't planning to have a baby, so I'm just going to put up for adoption. I want to get rid of this thing which is supposed to be joyful and do it in my own time. See, for a lot of us, we have this thing where we wish we had this joy, but we never actually received it. These dreams that we hope, these things that we think will really satisfy us, that will really make us happy. If only I have this, then I would be joyful. If only this happened, then I would be joyful. If only this could occur, then I would be joyful. The funny thing is, a lot of times those things happen, and you don't find yourself any more joyful. The job you've been praying for years, and then you get it, and 5 years into the job, you're like, I hate this job. I hate the people I work with. I wish I went to another job. If I had another job, I'd be joyful. For the people who are married, and I know it doesn't sound the same if I say, you know, I prayed so hard to get married, but now that I'm married, I'm really unhappy, and I don't have any joy in this. All the single people are laughing. You're like, oh, that never happens. All the married people are like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You'll reveal too much. In other words, we think these things that give us joy don't always satisfy the way that we wanted to. And it's funny because when we are praying, we're talking to God, and I'm sure some of you have prayed the same thing. God, I really wanted this. God, I really needed this. I've been praying for this, but I just don't feel any joy. I just feel like you don't listen to me. The thing is about this whole story, and even when you see with Mary and Elizabeth, if joy is absent, don't be afraid and don't lose hope. For Elizabeth, who is this woman who has completely given up hope, and she was like, well, if a baby will satisfy me, then I'll find joy, and she never gets it. Then one day, and after all these years of kind of hardship, Jesus, this declaration of who he's coming, and she's going to carry actually John the Baptist, the one who kind of leads the way. there's this joy that arrives in the scene that is greater than she would have experienced elsewhere. If someone has been waiting for a long time for something and then it happens, actually, the joy is even more powerful than before. For Mary, who's like, well, I feel conflicted that I'm having this baby now. But then later when she sees her son grow up, and then she understands that this is not just her son, but this is Jesus, the Savior of the world. This joy is magnificent. The truth is what God is trying to set out is that actually Jesus himself, Jesus is the joy bringer. He himself is the one who is bringing joy into our lives. Joy that actually maybe we haven't even started to fathom what that is. And the question begins to say, actually, God, I want to really know the joy that Jesus brings, this joy that really changes things. In Luke chapter 2:10, which we'll be hearing from in just a little bit, it says, do not be afraid. And this is the angel singing. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. This good news, and in different translations, it will cause. This good news will cause great joy. Or this good news that will bring great joy. Or this good news of great joy for all people. Now, when they're saying this, is we need to stop for a second and say, okay, God, I have thought all these things that I want. These are the things that are going to bring me joy. A better job, a happy family, a happy wife, and a happy husband. Look in food. You know, like, we think those are the things that are going to bring us joy. We have to stop and say, actually, God, I'm going to put those down for a second and say, God, will you actually bring me good news that will cause great joy in my life? This good news that will bring great joy. Because I cannot get this joy by myself, but I want you, God, to bring that joy to me so that it explodes in my life. Because this good news of great joy, it's not just specific for Chinese people or Jewish people. It's for all people. This joy must be phenomenal. Now, as we go on to the second part of our sort of singing in our carols and we start thinking about this joy that God has given us, I want us to actually move into a second stage of these carols. We're hearing about Jesus, start praying at the same time. God, yes, I really want to know great joy that is not just based on what I think I need, but Jesus, show me what it means that your joy gives us for who I really am and what I really need. Continue the second part of kind of thinking about joy. And there's this beautiful picture with that song, Joy to the World. This sort of picture that actually Jesus' arrival summons or calls in this changing of the world, of the way the world is headed. And there's this other great picture where this is kind of this rejoicing, both heaven and nature, both rejoicing together. There's kind of this struggle nowadays where we get this picture where the earth and the world is sort of struggling and things are kind of falling apart. And at the same time, we often wonder if in the spiritual kind of picture of things seem bleaker and darker. And I don't know about you, but when I read the news a lot or if I'm thinking about things, I find more and more cynicism or more and more doubt creeping into my heart. And I will notice I am finding less and less joy. Like, it's harder. And as much as I try to think about passing that driver's test, it doesn't seem to have the same effect as it used to. But if we're thinking, we're saying, okay, well, in the whole picture of all of this, we still know that actually Jesus is our joy bringer. If he's the one that, you know, the heavens exploded before the shepherds with the angels all singing these praises about Jesus' arrival. If we know as Christians ourselves that actually the moment when we heard about Jesus, something changed in our life, something changed in our very existence, not just our present but our future, why do we still struggle to see Jesus as our joy bringer today? See, part of this comes with this idea is that we think, well, again, we're trying to find these things that will give us this joy, that will satisfy us. But actually, the joy that Jesus is bringing is complete. It is full. Actually, in John 15, it says this, and he's talking to his disciples at the time. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And I was thinking a lot about this. Like, what does it mean to have complete joy? Like, what's complete joy? Because joy, we know, when it's brought to us, gives us that moment of celebration, of life, of kind of happiness, but deeper than that. So what does it mean that you can have a joy that is complete? It's actually this joy that is without lacking, a joy that's never going to be taken away, You're never lost again. You're never alone. You always know that you belong. This kind of complete joy means that whenever you need to recall it, it is there for you. I think the other ways Jesus kind of describes it sometimes, that he is living water, like he's this fountain that never runs dry. He's this bread of life that never seems to be lacking. Now, this is a very big difference to our current life, which always feels like it is in scarcity. Like we never have enough money, or we never have enough peace, or we never have enough love. We're always wrestling and trying to get more love from our spouse, more obedience from our children, more money from the government or from our employees. We always feel like we are in scarcity. And yet Jesus is saying, I'm going to make it so that your joy is complete. It is never going to be lacking. It is never going to be missing. It's a joy that won't be taken away, where you're never going to have this feeling like, actually, I'm never going to be lost again, or I'm never going to lose this person again. I'm never going to be alone. I'm never going to be in brokenness. You understand, when we think about Jesus and what he's come to do, is that he means that actually now you are my friends. You belong with me. You are not alone again, because I will be your God. He says that actually all your sinfulness, all the brokenness, it is wiped away. You are now my holy and precious children. You're not guilty anymore. There's no reason for you to be ashamed. It is that kind of joy that is complete. See, it goes on in John chapter 16, when it says, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And Jesus is saying, look, at some point I'm going to be crucified and taken away. But then he says, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I want to think about this. What does this mean? What's he talking about? And I used to always think this is just Jesus talking about when he dies and then he's resurrected again, then he goes to heaven. And that one day when I'm in heaven, it'll be fine, and then it'll be no sadness or no tears anymore. But actually what Jesus is talking about, he's talking to his disciples. And he's saying, look, I'm going to go away and you're going to be really grieving. But when you see me again in that day, you won't be asking anything from me. I was saying, actually, that day was when Jesus actually resurrected and they saw him again. Now imagine this, someone that you love and you cared about so much passes away. And some of you guys know what that's like when you've had a loved one, maybe a parent, and they've died. And you sometimes, this is what it's like, right, when you lose someone you love. You always have these regrets. If only I told them I love them a little bit more. If only I spent a little bit more time with them, then it'd be okay. The disciples at this moment when Jesus comes back, can you imagine what the joy they had? That sense of, oh my gosh, Jesus, you are alive. My heart is overflowing with this joy. And then Jesus is saying, actually, it's not just that. What Jesus accomplishes is this. We are no longer separated or broken from God, but now we can come and ask God directly. And when he's saying, actually, you can ask the Father anything in my name, ask and you will receive and your joy will be full, it is saying, God, actually, I want the fullness of your life. I don't want to be in this need or in this scarcity anymore. I want this fullness to be overflowing, this abundant joy that you are talking about. I don't want to live in fear or in shame or in doubt or in self-hate anymore, because Jesus, I know that you are victorious. So when I was about 20, 21 years old in university, and I was actually having a really rough time, I was getting involved in those sorts of things that a good Christian boy shouldn't, but I didn't care because I was mad at God and I was mad at my parents and I was mad at my family. And I started getting into all sorts of trouble, hurt a lot of people along the way, made a lot of mistakes I was ashamed of. But I remember at that time, in my kind of lowest point, when I was feeling just in so much in darkness, and I cried out to God and said, God, you know, Jesus, I've heard about you since I was a baby. I grew up in the church. But Jesus, I need to know, you know, actually, I'm dying here. I'm dying. Can you help me? You know, I just want to give up. I don't want to go to church anymore. At that moment, Jesus actually took me on this road where he said, actually, I want you to understand all the stuff I write in the Bible is not just stories or fairy tales. It is truth that takes anchor in your heart. And he wanted to say, you know, actually, what else, Bert? You know, actually, I love you. I love you more than you are trying to get from this world. I adore you more than you think. And at that moment, I realized, actually, Jesus, you are true. You are real. You are fantastic. And my heart exploded. It was like the disciples seeing Jesus again. At that moment, I realized, actually, it's fine. The world is not falling apart. Everything is not as bad as it seems because Jesus is real and he is good and his joy is unending and enduring. And remember, I got a bit kind of crazy because I was so overwhelmed with joy. People thought something was wrong with me because up until then, I had painted my room's walls black. I was fairly miserable. I wore a lot of black. This was before goths were a thing. So, by the way, I was a predecessor. And I was thinking to myself, man, actually, God, because you are so good and you are so true, this joy that you've given me, I've had a taste to understand what it means to be complete. See, the truth of the matter is actually that Jesus is the greatest joy. And when it says that actually Jesus is the joy bringer, he's saying that Jesus himself has been given to us to transform our existence here, to understand that that's true joy. See, our problem is this. We tell Jesus what we want, thinking that what we want will give us joy. But the reality is we don't even know what true joy is. Whatever you buy gets old, becomes outdated. Even in your marriage, you can find that it becomes frustrating. Even in your jobs, you're wondering what happens to you after retire. These are still good things. They are still things that can bring you joy. But God is saying, actually, come to me and understand what true joy is. See, we come back to this idea of Mary and Elizabeth. Mary, I'm sure she always wanted to get married. Back then, it was security. It meant you were stable. It meant you could raise a family. For women, it meant they had a purpose in that way. But she wanted in her kind of own time, in her own kind of plan, I suppose. And God throws a complete wrench into that. And this is her first child. And if you know anything about having your first child, it is rather traumatic. It is rather difficult. And you normally don't expect it to be happening in the middle of a stable. And yet, you can imagine what it was like. And I think of Mary when she's standing in front of the cross and she's seeing her son crucified. And I think a lot of us don't understand how heartbreaking that is for a mother to watch her own child die innocently, but accused of something heinous, like a horrible crime. And I think to myself at that moment, man, Mary is probably crying her eyes out. And Jesus says, look after Mary like she's your own mother, right? And she's telling her disciple that. And you think to yourself, man, God, why would you put her through this? But the other picture that you get is actually Mary in her understanding of this is she also has the opportunity at this point to receive the greatest joy. In the short-term perspective, it looks like it's nothing but suffering. But in the long-term picture of what God has done, the joy that she receives is, whoa, she carried Jesus in her womb. She's Mary, the mother of Jesus. She had a unique relationship with Jesus to one that we will have. Yes, we all have unique relationships with him, but none of us can say, well, I was the one that shouted at him because he spilled something on the floor. You understand, Jesus, in the joy that he brings into her life, overwhelms all the suffering and hardship that was there. In the same way, Elizabeth, who was barren for so many years. And the Bible talks so much about barrenness because they knows how much anguish it causes sometimes. And then she gets news that she's going to have a baby. The joy that came through that, how much greater is that joy that appears there where it makes only all those years of suffering go away. John 16:33 says this, "In this world you will have trouble. There will be hardship. Things will not be easy. Things that you wish happened will not happen necessarily. But take heart," and Jesus says, "he has overcome the world." See, Jesus is the true joy bringer. He is the one that actually changes and reorients our lives into something different. If you are struggling in your life right now and you're saying, actually, God, I've been saying these prayers for a job or for a spouse, and I'm thinking if I had these things then my life would be fine, you need to stop at this moment and say, actually, Jesus, I trust you. You are the joy bringer. You are the joy bringer. And I trust that you will bring that joy in my life, and that day of celebration will come, either here now on earth, and hopefully here on now on earth, but even greater in heaven. Before I end off and we come back to sing a few more carols, I want to end with one more thing. If we know that Jesus is the joy bringer and he's the one who brings that joy into our lives, and we are the people who hear this joy and we celebrate and we exalt and we rejoice, we also play a role too. We are the joy givers. See, as this world gets more cynical and more dark, we can very easily join them and be joy killers. Just say, you know, actually, you're right, this world is horrible, let's just all run into a cave where we'll be safe. But actually, we are the joy givers. This Christmas, you have this opportunity to say, actually, I want to bring the joy of Jesus for what he's done in my life to the people around me. And I don't just mean in testifying about him, yes, declare who he is, but actually, this world is so miserable, so hopeless, it makes such a big difference if we can just be a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of saying, actually, thank you, or I appreciate you, or my staff or my employees, you guys are good, or my friends, you know, I thank you for your friendship, or your kids, I thank you that you guys are alive. I know I shout at you all the time, but I thank you for this. It's amazing how much a little bit of joy that you share with someone can shape and transform their life. This Christmas, as you are asking so much, you know, God, actually, I want to know you as a joy bringer. Also take up that responsibility to say, you know what? Let me be a joy giver. Let me share the joy that I've received from God and share it out to the world around us. Last night, I was sitting at home with my wife, and we had a little bit of time where we were both weren't working, and we were talking there. And she said, actually, you know, even as hard as things go, and we think about, you know, things that we wish were different, we're like, we're in a warm house. We have electricity. We have two kids. Our marriage is not as bad as it could be. And yet, somehow we find more time to complain than we do to give thanks and to give joy. And I thought, man, we are such ungrateful people. Let's turn that around this Christmas, say, instead of being joy killers, let's take the joy that God has given us, so much of the blessings, and let's turn it into thanksgiving. And turn it into joy that we share with those around us. Before we come to the next group of songs, let me just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much because you are the joy bringer. You are the one who completely shows us, actually, that you are the faithful one who gives all. God, we could have been just left to die. You didn't have to care about us. And yet, Lord, you came down to save us, to call us your children, to give us your Holy Spirit to completely transform the way we live our life. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask now, even as we come and continue to worship and sing carols, may you begin speaking your joy fuller and deeper in our lives, Lord, and inspiring us to be your joy givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.